So last week we talked about, we shared some of the message on man's wisdom versus God's wisdom, right? And we saw some man's wisdom was foolishness to God. Like taking the Bible out of schools, prayer out of schools. That's foolishness to God. Amen? Or you can't physically discipline your children or you may go to jail. That's foolishness to God. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far, far away. Amen? But man decided, no, you can't physically discipline them. Amen? And now you see what we got, right? Huh? You're going to take the Bible out of school and then say, you better not touch him. Huh? Don't correct him physically. Amen? Another one we used was what? Man can marry man and woman can marry woman. That's man's. That's foolishness to God. Amen? But last week, we really went into this one, which they say it's a separation of church and state. Right? That's what man say. Right? It says it's a separation, right? Amen? And I asked the question, is that man's wisdom or God's wisdom? A separation of church and state. Is that God's wisdom or is that man's wisdom? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We said that this current system that we live in is a republic, right? It's a democracy, but it's really a republic, meaning we vote for what we want. Majority wins. That's really what it means. Amen. And we said that this is Satan's system. This is not God's system. God said, my kingdom is to come. It's coming. This right here is not it. Okay? So, you know, in Satan's system, you already know he doesn't want God in anything. He don't want him in his schools. This is his system. Amen. He don't want God in his school. He don't want God in his government. So of course it's going to be a separation. He don't want God in anything. And the main thing he don't want God in is you. He don't want God in you. He can't do anything with you when God is dwelling in you. Amen. So of course in his system he wants it to be a separation. But we proved it in the scriptures that there wasn't a separation. Because, you know, the scripture we read said that Jesus will be returning in the order of Melchizedek. Is that what it said? It said Jesus is coming back here in the same order as Melchizedek. So all we had to do was figure out, what's that? What is the order of Melchizedek? Because we know whatever that order is, that's how Jesus is going to return here. Amen. And so we found that Melchizedek was a king and a priest. Amen. Amen. He was a king that represents what? Government. And he was a priest that represents what? The church. Amen. So then, and the Bible says when Jesus returns, he's going to return as the king of and the great high priest. Just like the order of Melchizedek. That's the new system that's coming. That's the kingdom that's coming. We're not going to be voting, talking about, okay, Jesus, we're going to vote Jesus as the king, the president, and it ain't going to be none of that. It's going to be a dictatorship, and Jesus is going to be the dictator. Amen? Oh, we look forward to that kingdom. It ain't going to be no more of this foolishness. Amen? Man's wisdom. You won't see that anymore. Amen? Praise God. There is no separation of church and state. The devil is a liar. That's what it is. Amen. Simple. But today we're here to talk about the Lord helping us. Yes. Amen. I want to talk about that journey. You know, when the Lord first asked me to do that, intercede for Chicago. I want to heal Chicago. I was in my early morning prayer and he just spoke that to me. I want to heal Chicago, and I want you to organize all the pastors in Chicago for one day. I said, Lord, you want me to do what? Come on now. You know, he hold me to my words. See, God, you know what? We learned that God, we got two things. We got God, and we got God who swore by his own self that he was going to uphold his word. And he was holding me to my word. Because when he tell me to do these miraculous things, to me, it's just like, you want what? And then he just play my voice. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever you tell me to say, that's what I'm going to say. You know, he said, you told me you was going to do whatever. That's what I want you to do. Not my will, Lord. So I started on the mission, right? And the assignment is so necessary. The mission is needed. Amen. I remember when the Lord showed it to me, he said, in order to accomplish this assignment, we got to all humble ourselves. There's no capital I's and small. Everybody got to humble themselves and submit to the mission. Amen. And it's so, you know what, when you think about it, it really shouldn't be a hard thing. We all should want to be on one accord. But even in the body of Christ, we're separated. Amen. And the Lord began to give me all kind of revelation and open all these doors. You know, he said, if we submit to the mission, that's submission. We all have to submit to the mission. Amen. And then I looked up and I was on the radio. Like, Lord, how in the world? And it was just so amazing how he did it. Now next thing, I'm on Facebook Live. Let's do the show on Facebook Live. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. He's just a way maker. And speaking of the way maker, amen, then I receive a message, an email from Jesus. I'm like, what does it say? Jesus. Twice. It said, Jesus, Jesus. I look at the email now. I'm up there not feeling well, praying, Lord, I gotta send out this email blast, Lord. That's the last piece of the puzzle. That's what I want to do. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. And Lord said, well, go ahead down there and get on your machine and Google, because that's what I was going to do. I was going to Google email list of all ministries in Chicago. That was my next move. But I see this email talking about Jesus, Jesus. I'm like, let me look at this. AA Waymaker from AA Waymaker. I click on the mail and it has this person there that does email blasts and does engagements on social media. I'm like, Lord, now you know you showing off right now. I'm sitting there, I don't know what I was gonna do. Amen. And then I meet the brother who does it, and he was just so anointed. You know, it was just awesome. It was miraculous. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, just all these doors kept open. I mean, my wife has this dream about the number 9. Huh? You all remember the number 9 dream? Rudy, what does the number 9 mean? I'm like, I don't know. I know what 7 mean. I know what 8 mean. But biblically, I don't know what number 9 mean. I'm going to look it up. And then I look it up. I hope I brought that. Yep. I look up the biblical meaning of number 9, and it says this. Because I knew in my heart, you know, when God asked me to do this assignment, that he was separating the wheat from the tares. Because I'm like, who going to do this and who not going to do it? It's like the Lord is judging. He's separating. He wants to see. He wants me to see. You know, because we think a certain way. And God will straighten you out. He wants you to see what's really going on. Amen. Because he loves us. We are his children. Amen. So I look up this biblical number 9. It says this. It says, biblical numerology of number 9 is the finality of the judgment. And I was like, wow. This the final judgment? It says the finality of the judgment. My wife said, I'm seeing all these number 9s. This building with 9 stories is 9. What does it mean? I said, I don't know. And then I read that. And I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. It says, it is generally when at the time of judging a person and his works. So God is judging a person, pastors, and what they're doing. That's what I got out of that. It is generally when at the time of judging a person and his works. Also, number 9 is used to define the perfect movement of God. I say, baby, what kind of dream did you have? The perfect movement of God. Now, what would you think that would be? Let's see. Everybody on one accord. Huh? Y'all think that would be the perfect movement of God? Does it get any better than that? All God's people on one accord. That's the perfect movement of God. I was like, Lord, have mercy. Then it went on to say, the biblical number 9 is a number of patience. It is also the number of those who accomplish the divine will. See, what we was involved in is God's divine will. Amen. I said, baby, that was the dream right there. I sure needed to see that. I mean, and every time, you know, my spirit got a little down and it just was like, Lord, how am I going to, I just want to please you. But they not cooperating. They doing what they want to do. And then miraculously I meet Reverend Crider. Miraculously. Elder Vic gives me a newspaper. You know, again, every time I get a little down, somebody give me something. He gives me a newspaper. It got all these pastors in the back of the newspaper. I'm like, yes, this is how I can do it. I can reach all these pastors at once. And then it had the publisher of the newspaper as Reverend Crider. So Reverend Crider was the publisher of the newspaper. Amen. So I'm like, man, I got to meet him. Amen. I said, Vic, you got to put us together. And Vic said, I know him. Vic said, no problem. He said, I know him. I'll set the meeting up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. So he set the meeting up. No. So we was going to set the meeting up later with Reverend Crider. Right. Amen. So I'm in my early morning prayer, praying over the newspaper that he gave me with all the pastors in the back. And when I came out of that prayer, I said, Lord, you got to hook us up. I said, okay, when I talk to Victor on Sunday in church, I'm going to tell him to set up the meeting. Amen. And I'm excited again. Lifted my spirit, right? So that evening, I was hungry and my wife didn't feel like cooking. So we said, well, we'll go back to Priscilla's. Now, we went to Priscilla's on Wednesday, which was their like soft grand opening. And Thursday, I said, well, let's just go back again. And she said, no, you know, they're going to be closed, Rudy. Let's just grab something quick. It's late. You know, we don't really be eating that heavy like that. And I said, yeah, but it was so good. Let's just go get it one more time. I said, it's a new restaurant. They're going to let us in. Amen. And sure enough, we got there at the last minute and they let us in. And we standing there ordering the food and getting it, you know, waiting on it. And I look over my shoulder. I'm like, Z, that looked like that pastor that I was praying for this morning. That I told God he gonna have to hook us up. And I'm looking, I'm like, no, that can't be him. Because he looks much thinner. You know, I was like, that's not him. But I couldn't stop looking at him. I kept turning around looking at him, right? And I'm like, no, that's not him. So the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, go over and talk to him. I was like, what? So I told my wife, I said, Zeke, I got to go over and talk to him. She said, I'm out of here. I'm not having no part of that. She said, I'll be in the car. I say, all right. So I walk over to him, all meek. I said, excuse me, sir. Is your name Reverend Crider? He said, on Thursday it is. And they say, I was reading something about him. They say he's a jokester too. They said that. I was reading that about him. So I said, no, I'm serious though. I say, are you Reverend Crider? He said, yes, sir. My name is Reverend Tyrone Crider. I almost fainted.
Wow.
I mean, God opened up so many doors for this assignment. Amen. He just kept opening door after door after door. Amen. I said, Reverend Crider, I said, this is God. You know what he said? I know. I said, no, I need to sit with you. God gave me an assignment that I need your help on. I see your paper has all the pastors in the back, and I really need you to help me. I said, can you meet with me? He said, sure, I'll meet with you. I'm like, look at God. God, you showing up. He said, I'll meet with you right here on Saturday at 6 o'clock. I'm like, look at God. And he was there, you know. And he was so warm and open. You know, he was like, Pastor Rudy, come on in. And he was sitting with the mayor of Markham, the apostle that was in the district that I was in before God miraculously moved me to Chicago. He was with the bishop at that other church that was renting the school. You know, just amazing. God is something else. Wow. Amen. 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 God is something else. Wow. And when I talked to him, I want to tell y'all this last piece. It was so miraculous. When I met with him on that Saturday, after he got done talking to the mayor and his meeting that he had, he said, Pastor Rudy, come on over. He introduced me to him. I sat down. I said, you know, this was truly God. You know, it was miraculous. And I told him the story I told you. I was praying over you this morning in that newspaper because I saw you were the publisher, and I was asking my elder to introduce us. And God, but I came out of the press and, Lord, you got to hook us up. I said, and God hooked us up. I said, it's just amazing. You know, and he was excited about what I was telling him about the Lord help us, the Pentecost prayer day. He was really excited about it. But then he told me this. He said, can I tell you the other side of your story? I'm like, the other side of the story? Hey, I don't know. I said, sure. He said, it was late when I met you in that restaurant, right? I'm like, yeah, it was late. He said, because he really wasn't going to go. He said, but the Lord told him, go on in there because I got somebody I need you to meet. I'm like, look, that's just amazing. That is amazing. Amen. So, you know, that the meeting of Reverend Crider was something else. And you all know Reverend Crider passed away. Amen. His funeral was yesterday. Amen. But God allowed me to meet him, sit there. And then let me tell you this. Okay, it's just so many things that happened in this journey to this one day, one message, one prayer. Lord, help us. So many things. Thank you, Jesus. Reverend Crider was at an event. You all know our fire chief, one is the mayor of Markham, which that's who he was sitting with. That's probably what they were talking about, actually. But the law states that if you have a felony conviction against you, you cannot hold that seat. They can't swear you in. So it was a real big deal going on with that. So they had a meeting at his campaign, a press conference. Yeah, that's what it was. They had the media there and everything to talk about this unjust law, because really that's what it is. That's what's going on with Chicago. That's one of the other things, the vices that's holding these brothers. They put these felonies on them. Now they can't find a job. They can't find a job. They're going to do something. They got to eat. Amen. So that's another big deal. But anyway, we're in there on that. And Reverend Crider texted me and told me, I need you to come to that. Now, I'm not political in the pulpit. I just want to serve God. Amen. I just want to be about the business of my Father's kingdom, right? But it was so miraculous how I met him. I said, okay, now I got my golf. I'm getting ready to go play golf. But I said, I'm going and I'm going to go to this press conference. So I went. And so it was a bunch of pastors and a bunch of mayors in there, right? And everybody suited up. And I got the golf outfit on, right? So they talking. Everybody's talking on the mic about the unjust law and da-da-da-da-da. And then, so I'm standing back, just amen and everything, right? Amen, amen, it's wrong. And then Reverend Crider says, Pastor Rudy, I need you to speak. I'm like, all these pastors up in here? What's up? I got my jogger, I'm ready to go play golf. Then he said, I need them to hear your voice. I need them to know who you are. I was like, God is something else. He was something else with this assignment. It's just a journey, just an incredible journey to get to this day as we're interceding for Chicago. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you remember when the Lord gave us that joy message? You all remember what the formula of the joy was? It was Jesus, then others, then yourself. Amen. Because he really blesses us to be a blessing. Amen. And when I was on the radio, I was talking about how dwelleth the love of God in us. You know, if we don't have bowels of compassion for our brothers. I mean, how can we look at Chicago churches on every corner and darkness is superseding light? How can that be? Amen. Something is missing. And we as the church have to repent. And I was saying that to the pastors, we got to repent. Something is not right. Amen. And God gave us dominion. He gave us dominion over the earth. Right? But something has went wrong. Huh? Well, we got to go back now to God and say, Lord, you got to help us. Lord, help us. Amen. And that's what the Lord showed me. We have to go back and ask for his help now. He has to intervene. And he wants to. Amen. So that's what all this organizing, all the pastors in Chicago, you know, which was an incredibly daunting task. Amen. But the Lord kept opening doors and miracles to show me this is what I want you to do. First one being moving me here. Because I was quite comfortable in Hazelcrest. Amen. Nice school. It was beautiful. All of a sudden, they talking about, you got to move. I'm like, I got to move. They don't even know why. Well, I got to move. We don't know. The finance director say, I don't even know. You pay your rent. Y'all clean up when you leave. You do everything right. I don't know why you got to go. And then I get in my early morning prayer. And the Lord spoke to me, and I knew, okay. He said, if I give you an assignment in Chicago, then I got to put you in Chicago. Why the pastor's going to listen to me? I'm in here talking about, look, we got to all organize, you know, be on one accord. One day, one message, one prayer, Lord, help us. And I'm in Hazelcrest. Right. Look at me like, well, who are you? Right. They want to do that anyway. Right. Huh? Who are you? You coming to Chicago? You don't even live in Chicago. Your ministry is not even in Chicago. So the first thing he did was move me to Chicago. I'm like, okay. He made it clear. Amen. What he wanted me to do. And he just kept opening up door after door after door. Yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus. I got a question for you all. Why doesn't the church have the power? It had like in the book of Acts. You know how that power, it had power like that. Why? Huh? You all ever thought, why don't we have that kind of power now? I know the answer now that God gave me the assignment. You know what the answer is? Because we don't want to get on one accord. See, they were all on one accord. They had power. Everybody want to do what they want to do. Amen. I was talking to a man. I mean, this man knows the Bible backwards, forwards, sideways. Every time I'm speaking to him, he's telling me the scripture that I'm talking out of. I don't even know where it's at. I'm just, the Holy Ghost just speaking. I'm just talking to him. Oh, that's found in James 3:8. Oh, that's found. when I mentioned this assignment to him, you know what he told me? He said, that ain't going to work. Nobody going to do that. And I thought about it. How can this man, all this word, all this, and I know God spoke this, and you just say, that ain't going to work. It's not going to work for all of us to be on one accord. Nope, nobody's going to do that. I said, look at this craziness in the body of Christ. We're not talking about the world right now. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Huh? Let me give you, can I give you an earthly illustration of a heavenly truth? Okay. Okay, think about your body. It's an earthly vessel, right? What if all of a sudden the members begin to do whatever they wanted to do? Your eyes, they look wherever they want to look. Amen. Your mouth begin to speak whatever it wanted to speak. Amen. Would that be a mess? Your feet just begin to walk wherever they wanted to walk. Amen. That's not going to work, is it? That's not going to work. You're all over the place. And that's what God showed me in the body of Christ. Y'all can't even come together. Amen. We got all these differences, just little things that keep us apart. You know, well, and that's what Reverend Crider told me. Reverend Crider sat there and said, I want to make what you're telling me a movement. And like I said, I'm not political. I didn't even know how to handle it. I just wanted his help organizing these pastors. He said, I want to get T-shirts, and I want to get this, and I want to get that. Have you thought of a date? And I hadn't thought of a date, you know. And Reverend Crider said, well, what about a good day would be Memorial Day, because that starts kicks off the summer, you know. And I said, oh, that sounds good. And we were going through. And then when I got back in my early morning prayer, the Lord told me June the 4th. I wasn't nowhere in my mind. I was going with May 28th. That sounds good to me. But the Lord said, no, June the 4th. That's the day of Pentecost. I didn't even know what the day of Pentecost was. I mean, from this day. And then the Lord began to show me, oh, it's 50 days after Resurrection Sunday. Count it. Counted the 50 days. It was today. And the whole thing changed to Pentecost prayer day. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to be on one accord, saints. We got to be on one accord. So today is June 4th. The message is coming out of Matthew 15. And the prayer asking God to help us in Chicago. We have to get God involved. You all hear me? We have to get God involved. Man can't do it. Huh? Man, God showed me this so clearly. Rahm Emanuel, that's the mayor of Chicago. He said, I'm going to beef up my police force, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And what happened? More crime, more violence. Amen. And then the police chief said, hey, you know, don't blame us. We make the arrest, but the court system is failing. We arrest them. They let them out. They let them go. Amen. And then the president, you know, our new president, Donald Trump, he said, okay, y'all don't want to get it right. Y'all can't clean Chicago if y'all can't get it right. He said, well, if y'all don't get it right, then I'm going to get it right. Is that what he said? But the Lord spoke to me and said, no, he's going to do it. None of that ain't going to happen. None of that is not going to work. Man can't do it. And then God gave me the revelation of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Huh? The man that was what, 30? Was he 35 years? Sitting at the pool. Guess what he was doing? Waiting on man. Jesus said, what you doing? What are you doing? He said, I have no man. I have no man. And Jesus picked up the bed and walked and made him whole. That's what the Lord showed me. Man cannot fix Chicago. Amen. That's what we got to get that. And everybody's talking. The mayor, the police chief, the president, and what is the body of Christ saying? Nothing. No power. It's just crazy. Just crazy. Amen. We should be on the front line. Lord, have mercy. So today is going to be one day, June the 4th, one message and one prayer. Lord, help us. We got to get God involved. Thank you, Jesus. You know, our visitors missed this dream. I got to go over this dream again. You all mine? I want you all to hear this dream my wife had. So she wakes up one morning and she said, Rudy, I kept dreaming these nines. It was a nine-story building, and I just kept seeing this number nine. She said, Rudy, what's the biblical meaning of the number nine? I don't know. I could tell you number seven. I can't even tell you number eight. But I don't know what number nine means. I said, I'm going to look it up, though. So I look it up, right? And it's so odd because my spirit was a little down. Every time I would get a nugget like this, my spirit would be down. You know, I'm like, oh, Lord, I just want to get these pastors together so we can get on one accord. We can line our ministries up and we can pray for Chicago just like you ask. And it was in my spirit, it's like God is judging. He was judging. He's going to see who's going to do it and who's not going to do it. Amen. It's like he was separating the wheat from the tares. Amen. Who's going to really listen to you and who's not? Amen. So I looked the number 9 up. And it says, biblical numerology of number 9 is the finality of the judgment. And I was like, wow. Lord, is this the final judgment? It says the biblical number 9 is the finality of the judgment, or the judgment. Then it went on to say, it is generally when at the time of judging a person and his works. I was like, what a dream. Because I know God is judging, and not the body, he's judging pastors. Amen. He's judging pastors. Because what does the scripture say? If my people who were called by my name, huh? His people, we ain't talking about the world right now, huh? Will humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked way, turn from just doing it your way. I'm just going to do it my way. Traditions of man. That's really what it is. Amen. Listen to this. It says, also, number 9 is used to define the perfect movement of God. I say, girl, you're a dreamer. What would be the perfect? Now, if you could think about it, what would be the perfect movement of God? Everybody on one accord. It don't get no better. All my people are on one accord. That's the perfect movement of God. I said, baby, God got me doing the perfect movement. Then it says this. The biblical number 9 is a number of patience, and that's what it takes. A whole lot of patience. It's also the number of those who accomplish the divine will. This is God's divine will. Whoo, I'm so glad she had that dream. Amen. Because when I read that, I was encouraged again. I'm like, I know I'm on the right track now. It's one day, one message, one prayer. Lord, help us. That's what we're going to do today. And we have a unity prayer that we're going to say at the end of this message for Chicago. Minister Lisa went out and found an awesome prayer. And we tweaked it a little bit. And oh, my God, when I read that prayer on the radio, it was something else. It was something spectacular. Amen. So everybody, turn to Matthew 15. Let me get to these scriptures. Matthew 15. This prompted the whole assignment. I did a message in this chapter here, and this is when right after this, God asked me to do what He asked me to do. Everybody there? Okay, Matthew 15. Look at verse 1. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat. So they playing a dozen with Jesus right now, again, like they always do, right? The scribes and the Pharisees, them religious, you know, those were the law keepers, huh? They were the enforcers of the law. It is said they will spell out the letter of the law and ignore the spirit behind it. Amen. Adding traditions of men. That's what they say about the scribes and the Pharisees. Look at verse 3. It says, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Now I stayed on that one for a minute. I'm like, Lord, you got it. What in the world is it talking about? And as I looked up more and more what this scripture was talking about, it was like in the day, you would have something for your mother or father financially, monetarily. It was for your parents. But they would take it and give it to the church, huh? As a gift. No, I'm going to take this and give it to the church, huh? And the church is saying, you did good. You're free. That's a good thing. And Jesus is saying, when you do that, you're not honoring the scripture, which says, honor your father and your mother. Thus you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Then Jesus went on to say, verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And we got a lot of that going on in Chicago. That's why darkness can overshadow light. They honor them with their lips. Huh? They talking the right thing, but the heart, God is not in it. He's not in it. Amen. I mean, this really made it clear. When God sent me on this assignment, it's clear. Amen. Look at verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. This is what we talked about last week, right? Man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Man's wisdom. Take the Bible out of school. No prayer. That's foolishness to God. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Man can marry man and woman can marry woman. Foolishness to God. Amen. Don't discipline your own children physically. Huh? You're going to go to jail if you do that. That's foolishness to God. Amen. Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and a rod will drive it far, far away. Oh, no, you better not use anything. Just let them do whatever they want to do. That's why we got what we got. Man alive, that. You better not touch them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This is what defileth a man. He was trying to tell the multitude and his disciples, they are on some traditional stuff. What goes into the man's mouth, that's not what defileth him. It's what comes out of his mouth. Amen. Look at verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? These are Jesus' disciples. You know what he said? You offended them. Rudy, you done went out talking about, we all got to get on one accord. Pastors got to repent. You done offended them. That's what his disciples were saying. You offended them. Look at verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Did I tell you God is judging? He showed me that in her dream. He's judging. He's separating the wheat from the tares. Lord, you got to see it. Then look what he says in verse 14. Let them alone. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. That's the problem. Well, Lord, I'm praying. Lord, well, how in the world is a church on every corner, and darkness is just overshadowing light? Because the blind is leading the blind. That's the problem. They're not teaching them this word. I'm holding them accountable. Thank you, Jesus. Go to verse 21. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So the woman from Canaan is saying, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is vexed with the devil. Amen. What y'all think is going on in Chicago? It's grievously vexed with a high-ranked demon because it doesn't care. It's killing babies, children, pregnant women, who, whatever. It's a high-ranked demon in Chicago. Amen. That's why man can't fix it. Come on. Amen. You're exactly right, Minister Lisa. I'm going to give you a hug for that one. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 22. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, when I was preaching this message, the point I was trying to make was that God called us for our families. That's why this is a family ministry. I always say that. But who is our family? Whoever loves God. Huh? Isn't that what Jesus said? Who is my mother and father? Amen. But that was, I was just trying to drive home that point. He was called for the lost sheep of Israel. That's why he came. Amen. And that's what he was telling her. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then after that is whosoever will. Amen. Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, them the three words right there. Get them three words. If you don't know no other three, get them three right there in your spirit. Lord, help me. You got to get that in your spirit. Amen. She said them three words. But he answered and said, It is not meant to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Don't that sound harsh? He told her, Look, I came here gifted and talented for my family. I got children. This is for the children's bread. Huh? I can't cast it to dogs. Amen. Is that what he said? But look at this. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, the dog eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And the Lord showed me a bunch of things when I read that scripture. One thing was, she had great faith. He said, O woman, great is thy faith. Now, who walks by faith? Not dogs. Dogs don't walk by. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. For we walk by and not by. That's what it says. She was not a dog. She was a believer. Yes. Amen. Yes. And that's where he healed her. And the Lord told me the same thing with Chicago. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take great faith. They're going to have to hear and obey. Listen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I'm here to say today, you know, it's out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. You know, every word is established. And then the Lord said, one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000, right? And I thought he was talking about people, right? Like if I'm by myself, I can chase 1,000. But me and my wife can chase 10,000. But that's not what it was. God was not talking about people. That scripture is not talking about people. It's talking about the word of God. One word from God can chase 1,000 demons. And two words from God can chase 10,000 demons. Amen. Because demons, the last thing they want to hear is the word of God. Soon as you start speaking God's word, demons take flight. They do not want to hear you. Amen. Huh? So if you know you in a demonic person's space, begin to talk about God's word. Well, the Bible said, just like Jesus did when Satan was on him, look, you know, I know you hungry. You just came off a fast. You starving. I know you starving. Now go on, turn the rock to bread. Go ahead. Jesus began to talk, speak the word of God. It is written, huh? It's written, devil. Man don't live by bread alone. Don't you know, huh? But the devil is so foolish. He's a fool. Everybody know the devil is a fool, right? Amen. You do know that, right? Why would I say that? Let's examine that real quick. So you're walking with God. You're close to God. You right there. You an archangel. You right. And you turn away from God. Somebody got to catch this one. If you're walking with God and God is doing all these mighty powerful things in your life and you just decide, nope, I'm going to turn the other way. I'm going to go do my, you are a fool. And the devil is a fool. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for healing Chicago because I believe in my heart, Father. I did everything you told me to do, exactly how you told me to do it, and you opened every door for it to get done, Lord. So have your way, Father. Not my will, but your will be done in Chicago, Lord. Have your way, Lord. The church is speaking now, Father. Lord, have your way in Chicago. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do and what you're doing in Chicago and in your ministry as well, Lord, with your men and women of God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. We trust you and only you, Lord, with all of our heart. We're not leaning on our own understanding. But in everything we do, we're going to acknowledge you, Lord. And you said if we do it that way, you would show us what to do. Thank you, Lord, for being that light to our feet, that lamp to our feet, and that light to our feet.